The PGA Tour presents the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America, streaming live on PGATour.com. Follow us today and every day on Twitter at Golf Talk America. Now, the Golf Talk America crew.
And hello once again, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you, and we're coming to you on Friday, the 29th of June. Round two of the PGA Tour stop this week, the Quicken Loans National underway. And matter of fact, Tiger Woods birdied his very first hole here in the second round. A lot of golf still yet to be played, but at least things are looking up for him. J.J. Spaun, Andrew Landry are the leaders at 7-under after yesterday's first round. So all the excitement there because pretty much of Tiger. So we'll keep you updated a little bit on what's going on at the Quicken Loans National. U.S. Senior Open at the Broadmoor is taking place. The KPMG Women's PGA Championship outside of Chicago is going on. So a lot of golf being played. We have a golfer himself, Art Sellinger, on his way to the golf course, former long drive champion. He'll be joining us in just a little bit. In the meantime, Frank Bassett in our Nashville studios. How's everything today, Frank?
A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Lots of letters in all these golf tournaments.
Sure is, aren't there?
KPMG, G, 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 G. Yeah, it's going good. Going good, going good. Lot. Jerry Kelly's leading the U.S. Senior Open.
Yeah, the Broadmoor.
Yeah, it's a Broadmoor. Oh, my God. Watch that yesterday. The Broadmoor's just – have you been to the Broadmoor, Tim?
Yes, I have. Yes,
oh,
I have.
It's isn't it incredible?
Very nice, very nice. So, yeah, I was kind of wishing I was there right now. It's such a nice time of the year for Texans when it's 105 every day.
It's going to be 100 here. Yeah. In the words of the great Charles Barkley, it's terrible that we're not at the Broadmoor this week. Just terrible.
So, Art Sellinger on his way to a donut shop or a golf course somewhere in the greater Dallas area joining us now. Artie, how are you doing today?
I'm good. I am actually in Charleston on my way to the Wild Dunes. And there's a part of me that's semi-glad I'm not at the Broadmoor. Boy, they put some teeth on that place. I actually tried to qualify for that tournament, Senior Open, missed by two shots. And many cohorts that I've played some decent golf with that I've seen shoot under par went for some 80-plus rounds yesterday. A couple Dallas guys, Jamie Elliott, the pro at Bridalwood Teaching Pro. What a good player. Point I want to start out with this morning is I mean, I've teed it up with Jamie, and if we teed it up at Bridalwood, he'd probably shoot the easiest 67 or 8 you've ever seen. And yesterday, 13 over par. And another amateur, Jerry Slagle, who's a very accomplished Dallas area golfer, plays a lot of mid-am golf, 53 years old, shot a wonderful 71 at Dallas Athletic Club to make it to the Senior Open. And 10 over par 80, John Smoltz, 15 over par 85. My point is, when you have some friends at the local club that shoot even par, you think they're good enough for the PGA Tour or Champions Tour, you are so far from the realm of possible to understanding what it takes to play out there. It's just another world. So Jerry Kelly goes ahead and beat you by 19 shots yesterday. And day one, it is. It's just a different game.
Yeah.
This is all to it.
Well, there was some wind. He did that in the wind, too, because there was a lot of wind yesterday.
There was a very, very difficult golf course. But tournament golf, when you have to put your score and your, you know, next to your name on the board, it's different stuff, guys. And there's two levels of golf. There's club golf.
Ooh.
And then there's tournament golf. It's a good to watch, a great weekend for golf like you're talking about. And it should be fun.
Well, I wanted to ask you about that. Tell us about you're trying to qualify, and you obviously came very close. You've been working on your game pretty seriously.
I have. I tried the last one. I've missed by one shot, four shots, and two shots, respectively. It's what I like about senior level qualifying for tournaments like this is it's an 18-hole shootout. There's not a lot of spots.
Woo.
And where I played, I missed by two. It was very brutal conditions. It took even par to make it. I shot two over, and I'm going to take a shot and go over to the British Senior Open qualifier next month. I like my chances on wide open spaces, and it's just going to be fun. I tried it 21 years ago for the regular British Open, and just something fun to do, just to stay competitive. And I'm sure, you know, it would be great to make it because the tournament is at St. Andrews at the Old Course, so that would be fantastic.
I was going to say, and so you're qualifying at that same course? You're trying to qualify at St. Andrews?
I chose the Torrance course at St. Andrews, and it'd be on the Monday prior to the tournament. I believe 90 players for 8 spots. And
what do you think you're going to have to shoot?
1 to 2 under par usually makes it, and I find a way to usually shoot even the one over. So, you know, that's kind of par for the course for me. I just invent a way, but I'm working hard at it. I really am. I've been practicing every day, and I'm looking forward to competing again. I don't play that many competitive rounds, so it's just fun to play competitive golf. That's what's cool. And even the players that qualified for the Senior Open and shot buckets of numbers yesterday, hats off to them for making it. Their victory was getting there. But when you tee it up against the likes of Jerry Kelly and Davis Love and those types of players that are seasoned, you know, 30-year-plus veterans on and tour-level golf, you just don't have a prayer. People don't know University of Arkansas stud from South Africa. He shot 2 under yesterday. He can hit it 9 miles. I played a big exhibition match against him and John Daly in Paris, France in 1991. This guy can flat golf, and don't be surprised if you see him there on the weekend. So I'm rooting for Dean. Kind of a cool story.
Say no, hey, Art, say that name again, because I had a little dropout on my end. Sorry for the noise to all our listeners.
That's
we had,
right.
had a table collapse over here in the studio. So,
saw that. I heard that.
Yeah, what a mess.
Pappas, South African
Dean
guy,
Pappas.
Obviously.
Yeah.
He's over 50.
Yeah.
Played the PGA Tour. Brother was Brendan Pappas. Played on the European Tour and South African Tour. And the Pappas brothers, close to John Daly, both played in Arkansas. Can really play. I'm glad to see that he's up there. But again, your normal names are at the top of a tournament like this that know how to play that tournament golf. What a round by Jerry Kelly.
He was on fire. There's no doubt about it.
In all honesty, had you qualified and made it to the Broadmoor, what do you think you would have done yesterday? And I know you think you shoot par or something like that, but what would you have done?
I would have drank a lot of Hanger One vodka before I teed it up. That would have been my start of my day.
That would have been the start of the day. Hey.
You know, the putting is where it's at. What would I have done? I would have went there with the lowest expectations, enjoyed the stroll, and if I had to predict the score, it would have been a snowman. Probably an 80, probably plus 10.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't know. You don't play into those conditions and feel that nerve, Tim, Frank, so... I've never played in a tournament of that high of level. I played the Argentine Masters, Argentine Open, Korea Classic, German Open. I've played some web events over the years. I played Division I college golf, but the U.S. Senior Open. I did play one USGA championship, the Junior Amateur. And these tournaments make you make swings and hit shots you never thought you were capable of making. It's like, really? Did I just hit that shot? Did I just shank that? Hit it in the rough? Did I just 3-putt from 6 feet? So I don't know. Honestly, I was watching Jerry hole by hole, and I just kept seeing bogey, and I was watching Smoltz and seeing doubles and stuff. And I'm like, these guys are good golfers and they are shooting buckets. So it had been, again, a victory for me just getting there. So to me, the tournament's over. Just to get there. I just want to get there. I don't really care about it pretty much because, you know, you don't have a prayer to win. And these guys are good ball strikers. Like, you know, Jerry can hit it 300-plus yards, hits it real solid. And then you think about a guy like Corey Pavin who just dissects the place, shot a couple over yesterday. And it just shows you what tournament golf is about.
Yeah.
That's what's cool.
And what's so neat about Corey, he's still putting with that bullseye. Still putting
something?
With that bullseye.
Right, and I'm trying my 9th different putter in the last 12 weeks today.
How good is this?
I have a new driver in the bag today and a new putter getting ready. I am going to do a lot of preparing, getting ready for the Wind of St. Andrews by playing some golf in the Northeast in the next couple weeks on some windswept places in New York and Massachusetts. So, let's see how it goes. But to me, it's always the equipment.
I'm getting prepped right now myself, Art, for the Pro-Am and the Symetra Tour event up at French Lick. So.
Oh, nice. What a good golf course, too. And Pro-Am golf's fun.
It is fun. You
know, I just think there's some amateurs that go to pro-am golf and they're like, you know, I want to try to beat my pro today. That's pretty stupid.
That's stupid.
Yeah, that's stupid. So, you know, I just think take it for what it's worth. Pick the ball up when you're on your sixth shot. It's okay.
Yeah.
And, you know, the pro will tell on the first hole what he's dealing with. If you're out there trying to play a tour event yourself, or if you just want to shoot the breeze, know your money's going to charity, have a chat with the pro and yeah. enjoy the day. But as soon as you're grinding over a 3-footer for a 7, you're going to lose your pro for the day. So that's your pro-am tip right there. If you've got 3-foot with right to left break, if you pick it up for 7, he'll like you or she'll like you.
It's
and if
good.
You
yeah.
grind over it and look at it from all four sides, you're done.
Yeah, they're going to go, come on, please.
Uh-huh.
Hey, we're talking with Art Sellinger, who's getting ready for a round of golf in South Carolina. And we also mentioned Tiger Woods playing. He's back to even par now, second round of the Quicken Loans National. What you were just talking about, Art, and all the pressure and the feelings and whatever that you felt, and a lot of other people feel too, in tournament golf, and especially if they haven't played an awful lot of it. Has Tiger had to go through that, even though he's Tiger Woods, getting back to form even now? Is he still trying to get back into that mindset of being a tournament golf player?
When every single swing is under a microscope that has a magnitude of a million versus everybody else, every move he makes, every non-up and down, every loose shot off the tee, the scrutiny, the media, the fans, I mean, I can't fathom it. And I also, that's why I'm not a big fan of the pairings of Thursday and Friday, these creative little fun pairings USGA comes with. I think you got to separate DJ, you got to separate Tiger and those guys on Thursday. And I kind of called it. I said, one's going to play real great, one's going to be average, and one's going to miss the cut. It happens all the time. You cannot put the three best, biggest name horses and Rory with Jordan and these kinds of pairings. I think you got to spread those guys all over the golf course. If you want to have a great weekend, don't make your tournament on Thursday morning. So, but yes, so much scrutiny for Tiger because right now, guys, it's, you know, he's really two good top 10 tournaments away from a shoe-in pick from Jim Furyk to make the Ryder Cup. He's a couple top fives away from at least securing two playoff events. So his run's not over. I know he wants that Firestone. I'm a little nervous about what Carnoustie's going to bring to him. I wish it was more of an open links course instead of a brutal links course for him. Because again, I think he's a little loose off the tee. His, you know, it's in Carnoustie is absolutely
impossible.
He's in the gorge.
If I got into that tournament, I would need a 3-man scramble. You know. I mean, just to shoot 75 is so hard.
The biggest story that has ever come out of Carnoustie, at least for now, is John Vandeveld.
Oh, of course.
And everybody still remembers that total meltdown.
They're still showing the highlights of it.
I know it.
Because it's the biggest blunder, the biggest thing. But there is a unique story that I'll have to sit down with you guys and show you one day. That's even a bigger story out of Carnoustie. And believe it, because myself and my brother have been banned from Carnoustie for life. We are blackballed. I'm dead serious. It was
you nice. And Saul?
My brother Saul and I, PGA professional.
Oh,
Houston,
no.
Texas, we are on the blackball list for life. We cannot return the Carnoustie. I'm not a bad human being. I'll give you the 30-second synopsis. Oh, we're over there. It's 1997. It's 4:30 in the afternoon. Two caddies, myself and my brother. I'm the negotiator of the group. I am the politician. I went up to the lady, the starter, and I said the following, gentlemen, do you have a problem if we play the back tees? She said, no problem. So to me, where I live and how I was raised, the back tees, that's the end cut. I take one big step from the tips because I want to get my teeth kicked in. I put a peg in the ground, and we golf. She came running out to us in the 18th green, screaming like I've never seen a woman go crazy before. and said that we violated their policy because we didn't play the actual tee markers, and we put 14 tees in the ground and hit drives, two golf pros, and we were a disgrace to the game. They wrote the North Texas and Southern Texas sections. I have a copy of the letter saying that we spread global badness in the game of golf, and we are forever barred during our lifetimes to play Carnoustie.
Holy kidding.
So
there has to be.
What I'm glad about this year's Senior British Open is it's not at Carnoustie. So that's why I can go try to qualify.
And now Paul Harvey for the rest of the story.
That would have been unbelievable had it been at Carnoustie else. And you tried to get in there and see if somebody would have actually remembered.
Our names are on the wall with our pictures like a post office. Timmy,
Butch and Sundance.
The next time you're at the house or at the office, I have this letter.
Oh, my gosh.
We put it in a sheet cover. It is absolutely priceless. Global badness. I mean, I'm talking about like you're a terrorist badness. Or something.
Because holy smokes.
We put 14 tees in the ground. So that was 22 years ago. And that's the story.
Next thing you know, Art's going to be sued by the Marvin Gaye estate for stealing a song. You know? That's an inside joke, folks. We won't go there with that. No. We don't want to get sued
holy
by their estate.
It
was a great day because we played Deerfield that morning and drove all the way around the horn there to get to Carnoustie by 4:30. Just, again, there was nothing going on. We put a peg in the ground. Just so happened at the first tee, the plates were at the tips, so we were fine. And the caddies never said anything. And I'm talking, I mean, we didn't take a full 5-iron swipe off the green and take a divot. We put a tee in the ground at the back cut. We wanted to play the Tiger tees. That's what they call them over there, 7,600 yards. Because I think we both wanted to shoot 100. Who cares? I wanted to see it all.
His royal global badness.
And that's global badness. So anyway, yes, John Vandeveld leads the way. But we, myself and my brother, a close second.
three of your pictures. God. He's Jesse James, and you're Butch and Sundance up on the wall at Carnoustie. Never let them back.
Yeah. Wow. Hey, Tim, let me ask you this. For heaven's sakes, today when you go out and play the club court
Glen
property,
Eagles?
Yeah, Glen Eagles, don't spread global badness and hurt our new relationship.
Try not to spread,
just be a good boy.
I just love that term. That's such a good British
global
term.
Is that
badness.
A great term? I'm going to text you guys both the letter.
Global badness.
Anyway. So
gotta see
cool. I was thinking if I get, I'm going to play my practice rounds for the qualifier over there, and I was thinking about, I had my wife with me, just taking a drive up there and walking in the clubhouse and just seeing
see what
if
happens.
There's like a band list. And seeing if I'm up on there, just for grins. I haven't been back in 21 years, so that's my story. I'm sticking to it.
let me ask you this, Art, and I know you got to get running for your tea time, but let's go back because you and I had an interesting conversation the other day. Give us your thoughts on what happened with Mickelson and your unique way of saying what Phil could have or should have done in your eyes at Shinnecock a few weeks ago.
Okay. Here's my opinion, and I was watching this, and you could just see the fumes and the steam coming out of his ears, and, you know, it was a tough situation. The guy really wants to win the Open, just like anybody else, and so he wanted to make a statement against the USGA, all right, and this was definitely premeditated. He knew he was going to do something, so he's above the hole there on 13, and he's got it 6 feet for bogey. The best thing he could have done is called over the Arby's man, Beef, and said, look, Beef, how many sandwiches did you have today? But here's what I'm doing. I'm taking an unplayable lie right from this spot right here, take out his driver, take two club lengths from that coin to the high side, remark the ball, drop it, putt from there. Now he's putting for, you know, it would have been five. That's the penalty. Now he's putting for six. It wouldn't have been straight downhill. Tap in for seven, shake his head, move on. Then the interview pool gets him because it would have been unprecedented to take an unplayable lie from the green. And with that said, what he makes happen is that's his statement to say, I'm just not good enough to play to this flag from where you guys set it. I've won 43 times. I've won five majors. This and that is his subtle knife in the back way to say to the USGA, what a horrible pin, what a horrible setup. And this is what I have to do instead of, you know, the rake and the hitting the moving ball.
Chasing after the ball.
Which made him look bad. He had a great chance to just destroy the USGA and show them the course is unplayable. I can't play from here. I took two club lengths to find a position that I can actually finish the hole from. And he'd have looked like a hero and buried the USGA. But, you know, Phil didn't think of that one. He usually, you know, thinks of everything. He is the smartest guy in the room, and I'm a big fan. But this one stung because it could have been handled differently. You know, it really could have. So,
yeah. That would have been unbelievable. You're right. Had he done something like that.
Has anybody ever just had 6 foot for bogey and said, hey, I'm taking an unplayable? I mean, it's not like
try that.
That would have been his answer.
Try that today, Tim. Try that today.
I do it all the time. I don't take a penalty. I didn't know that was a rule. I just move it. I'm like, wow, I didn't know you had to take strokes.
I think the comment of the show is beef. How many sandwiches did you have for lunch
today?
How
many Arby's before you teed off there, beef?
You got to like it.
I love him.
I tell you what, though. You know, the U.S. Open is the U.S. Open. I've never seen people care about par more than these people care about the number par. You know, that's why everything's a par 70. The par 72, which is the game of golf, the four par fives, the fun stuff to try to make eagles and risk reward. Their par fives are 650 yards now. There's no more risk reward. You only get two of them around. Golf is exciting because of the par five. You're talking to a person that thinks all golf courses should have 6.5s, 6.4s, and 6.3s. I think golf would be so cool that way. But can't we even have four par fives? All we get is two. And most of the two par fives that they turn into par fours, those greens are not par four greens. They were
That's
meant to accept wedges. Yep. They were meant to accept wedges, not four irons. So, but the U.S. Open setups nowadays with the wider fairways and the premium on second shot and putting are set up for bombers. You know, Hank Haney said the best the other day. Pinch the fairways and make a premium on the tee shot. Don't give them wider fairways. Pinch the fairways. And I repeat my number one saying in this game right now with what's going on with distance. Everybody's worried about equipment, the ball. Grow the fairways higher. Slow down the fairways. Don't let the ball roll 50 yards when you have more grass in the fairways, gentlemen. You can't find corner pins on hard greens because more grass is between the face and the ball. So if you want to affect play, raise the mower heights and you will see these guys struggle. That is the answer. Period.
That's a philosophy according to Art. And by the way, Art, how good was, speaking of Shinnecock, how good was Tommy Fleetwood's final round?
Oh my God.
I mean,
that's one of the great rounds that nobody really seemed to get much into, but it was phenomenal.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, you know, Captain America, I thought, was going to shoot 59, but to shoot 63 that day, and, I mean, to see the other guys play pretty darn good at 68 to 71 or 2, I mean, when you shoot that kind of score, it's amazing. And, I mean, he missed a really legitimate putt for 62. It's just great golf. That's not an easy setup. That is just – and I'm going to leave you with one more final thought before I get to the tee, guys. Let's everybody that's listening to this, plus you two great gentlemen, remember this. These guys, if they were to turn in all their scores based on course ratings, these players under the USGA Gin system are plus 8 and plus 9 handicaps. If the course ratings are 75, guess what? They're supposed to shoot 66. They're the best players in the world. They're not supposed to shoot 84, 78. They're not supposed to. They're the best. You know, they're not supposed to, just like these athletes, you're not supposed to run the 100 in 20 seconds. They're the best. They're supposed to shoot mid-60s golf when they're on because they are not zero handicaps. They're plus 9. Plus nines. That's what they are. I think there was one year when Tiger Woods averaged 68.07 on the tour, that with the gin system where you count the best of so many and all this stuff, he was a plus like 10.8. So he's that's against the course rating, not par. So he's supposed to shoot mid 60 rounds. That's par for him. And there's nothing wrong with that. I hate the par 70. Have I said that yet? I hate par 70. Come on.
Okay.
Right. There you go.
Art's left it. Now he's got such a bitter taste in his mouth. Have a good round. Is this a working round, or are you
this
having
is
fun
a
today?
Working round because I have a new putter and driver, and I am preparing. We're playing in the Wild Dunes here on Isle of Palms. It's going to be fun. Nice South Carolina day.
Winds are at what today, Art? What are the winds?
The winds are zero.
Oh, let me get on a plane and get there right now. My one chance.
Text me when you're done. Text me when you're done. Tell me what you shoot.
I put the new Jerry Kelly putter in play, the Cure. I'm going to try that today.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Can't work.
My foot. I can't wait to use it. You two guys are great. Thanks for having me on the phone. Everybody out there, enjoy the sport. Play a lot of golf. Swing on in case you hit it.
All right. Thank
you,
Art.
Take care, Art. See you, buddy.
See you, buddy. Take care. Art Selinger.
Swing hard in case
long
you hit it.
Long champion. That's his philosophy.
His global badness.
He left us with like seven final thoughts. So that was the final thought was swing hard in case you hit it. Kind of exciting, though. He'd be kind of neat if he qualifies for the senior British Open.
Yeah.
It'd be kind of a neat thing for him. So.
Have you played Wild Dunes?
No.
You got to play. It's a fun go. When the wind's blowing, it is a wild ride.
All you want.
Yeah, anything. Sure. Anything out there. Art lives out that way, but or has a home out there also. But, Kiowa, when the wind's blowing, the ocean course at Kiowa. Oh, good Lord in heaven. Brutal. I think I came off of that course with an 88, and I was thrilled. I framed it.
Well, it's kind of like playing at Sea Island, too, right? I mean, very similar area. But, you get out there, and it's beautiful. You love it. Yep. But those winds, sometimes you turn, and suddenly you go from a hole, and you go, that's kind of good. You go to the next tee box, and it's like you're leaning into the wind. And you're going, how am I going to hit this? Because, first of all, I've got 160 yards of dunes, or not even dunes, swamp to get over before I even hit to the fairway. Yeah, I mean, they're very challenging. But fun. I love that whole area.
Yeah, I'll tell you, that Kiowa, I've played it several times, but the time that I shot that 88 there, I've shot a lot better there, but the wind was howling sideways and it was misting. So it was like playing in the UK or like playing in Scotland. And I think I was 10 strokes better than the closest guy to me. That was just because I was putting out of my head that day. I just, the wind was blowing the cup. But it is brutal to play in the wind and to play that style golf course and those weather conditions, it's brutal. It changes everything.
Tell me what you think
about
Art's. Tell me about Art's philosophy. What do you think about what Phil would have done? That would have been unbelievable.
Well,
if you take an unplayable lie from a green,
that would have been a smart move. I mean, Art's right. That would have sent a solid signal without embarrassing himself.
Yeah.
And just what he did was just pure frustration, obviously.
Because he knew if he just started the ball where he was, did what he did, which is just touch the ball, it's going to maybe run off the green, right? So, okay, I can't play it. I can't. There's no way, unless it hits the cup, and it's that 1 in 50, it's going to hit the cup. If it doesn't, it's gone. I'm going to have to move it over here and still take the penalty. He was already out of it. At that point, he was 12, 13 over or something like that.
So unprecedented.
Would have been interesting.
Take an unplayable on the green. Never done. Never been done. He tries that. Okay, let's go over to Bryson DeChambeau with his protractor that they're still talking about.
His compass.
And his compass. His compass. Oh, my God. What's going on?
It's kind of weird because there's no rule against it, as I understand the whole compass thing. Now they're looking at it to say, we've never had anybody with a compass. I'm like, I don't know that it's – I mean, in my mind, I've always said, we talk about pace of play, USGA, PGA Tour, everybody talks about pace of play, and yet they have certain restrictions where they won't let you help the pace of play, like using a rangefinder. You can use your practice rounds.
That slows it down to me.
Put in your notes and stuff. I don't think so. I think because you see the guys walking yardages off because I've got it marked down from here. Well, I don't have every yardage wherever you hit your drive, so I've got to now get it exact. I can't just say it's about 168, Tiger. I got to get it exact, so I got to go to that bush, that sprinkler head, whatever. I got to walk back. That takes time.
Yeah, in amateur golf is what I mean. I'm sorry, I should have been more clear.
Yeah,
in amateur golf, I think the rangefinders increase or slow down the pace of play.
So if it's about technology, and I don't know what Bryson's getting out of the compass, something who knows what he gets out of it. I'm facing north, south, east. By 3 degrees.
I got it.
Let him do it.
Here's the deal. Yep. I'm going to put a weather station on my tour bag. Okay, just on the edge of it. Just put a weather station there with the little cups that spin and all that, so I can get wind direction, wind speed. Then I'm going to carry a level, and I'm going to put the level across the cup. In increments of quarters, okay, if you know what I mean, circling the cup with a level. There you go. That's what I'm going to do today.
I think you play golf like the Aztecs. I want to
how
know
is that? The slaughter a calf on the first tee or what?
No. Where the sun is, all right, and you got to put some instrument on the ground so then you see the shadow to know what time it is to grow your crops and you got to play it like that. So there's too much going on in people's head. The Shambo's got
too
so many
little
things going. I would just play. Just hit the ball.
Enjoy
the game.
Brooke
Henderson said that? Step up and hit it. What's your thought? I don't have any thoughts.
I love that. When she said that, I went, that's the way to play. Just forget about it. That's the mob way to play. Just forget about it.
Forget about it.
And go play.
I'm going to play at Glen Eagles today here in Dallas with my son Logan in just a little bit, which is a great Club Corp golf course that I'm going to go play. So I'm looking forward to playing there. They have two 18s. It actually is a qualifier for I think, for the past 10 years or something, they've had regional qualifiers for the Open Championship.
Yeah.
The regular Open Championship has been at Glen Eagles, which ironically has a very Scottish sound to it. And there's a Kings and the Queens course. We're going to play the Kings course. So
and
looking,
the queen of your household will be lying by the pool waiting on you boys to finish, right?
She'll be. I think she's going to be testing out the beverage menu at the pool. Yeah.
Frozen umbrella drinks.
I'm pretty sure that's her plan.
There you go.
It's fun. Gonna have a good time. You gonna go hit some balls?
I'm gonna hit some balls today. I'm not gonna play today. I was joking. I'm going to practice today. I'm gonna take two specific clubs and just work on them. Leave everything else
Tiger
in the locker.
Tiger, by the way, has a new putter.
Saw that. That's
kind of interesting that he's gone to first time in 74 years that Tiger's got a
74
putter.
Years. Yeah. That I don't know if that's going to last or not. You just never know with him.
Yeah.
But that's a totally different concept from what he's been putting with and won 14
the old
majors
Cameron,
with the old Cameron
that he had forever.
I told my good friend. I was down. By the way, went to the Who concert the other night. Not the Who concert, but it was the Nashville Symphony with Roger Daltrey and my good friend Lauren Gold, who is keyboards, background vocals, musical director for the Who, and travels with Roger when he does the Tommy events, and. My gosh, man. Have you seen Tommy the Opera performed by a symphony? Oh my gosh. If our listeners anywhere in their area, check it out and see where Roger Daltrey's going to be. It was incredible. The Nashville Symphony is great, of course.
Nice.
But it was funny because I was talking to the musicians. We went to an after party. And so Roger and everybody's there, and the bass player and the conductor for Tommy. And I said, so how does the Nashville Symphony compared to others? And Frank, who plays bass, looked at me and said, other symphonies, everybody's smiling at us and we're kind of communicating while the concert's going on. He said, Nashville, they're just focused, straight ahead, do it. I said, well, do you think they're not impressed by celebrity? since they have millions of them that are around this town constantly? He said, that's a good point. I didn't think about that. But anyway, didn't mean to get off on the
good
music
concert.
Tangent, but it was a great
that's
concert.
Right.
And kudos to Lauren Gold. We took him, by the way, and where this was going is we went down to Seymour Putter Company. So I'll bring this back around to Tiger. And Lauren went through about a two-hour lesson in fitting by the Seymour guys. Cody, of course, is their tour rep and works with all the pros. He just was on the phone with Zach Johnson when we got there. And, wow, you know what? If you haven't gone to a Seymour Putter Institute fitting or checked it out at Golf, PGA Tour Superstores, whatever, Golf Galaxy, all of them, our listeners should check that out. I not just because I use a Seymour Putter and they're great friends of ours, but it's a fabulous putter. You have one, right?
Yep.
You have a Seymour putter. And my point is that shaft, Seymour, Zach putts with that center shaft putter, which is the same one I putt with. I love it. It's totally different, and I had to kind of work into it. So Jim Grunberg, who owns Seymour Putter Company, weaned me off of my Cameron into a couple of Seymour putters until I got to that true center shaft over the ball putter, out the red dot. And I've never putted better. So,
Great putters.
I think that we ought to send one to Tiger. Let him check that one out, too.
We'll see what he – I think the one he has now is TaylorMade, right?
Of course.
It's a version of the Jason Day-ish, if people haven't seen it. It's that type of putter, not exactly the spider, but looks similar to that big mallet putter. Anyway, very different for Tiger. A lot of
mass.
Tiger's at one under now. But, so we'll see how this plays for him this week at the Quicken Loans. He's doing a lot of things trying to get ready for Carnoustie, as we were just talking about. So changing putters. He's about the only one that hasn't. I mean, most everybody goes through that period a few times that they try. And you remember even Spieth.
I told you.
Switch, and when switch back again. So it's the game of golf, right? You're always constantly. And he had to, you know, get off of Nike when everybody else did too. So this is, I guess, part of that process where he's changed almost everything in his bag in the last 2 or 3 years because of the Nike change in manufacturing. So,
sure.
You know, I guess it's natural to give something else a try. So we'll see. We'll see what happens
we'll,
for him.
We'll see what happens. We'll have fun today on the golf course, you know.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's
appreciate
be a good
it.
Day.
So what two
clubs do you think I'm going to work on today? What two clubs?
Interesting. Shot in the dark. I'm going to say a wedge and a 3-wood.
Actually, it's going to be a 60 and a 48.
Oh,
I'm working. I'm just working on control and distance. And
out of the sand or just
no.
Fringe.
Fringe spinning
around the green.
Around the green. From 80 yards, 100 yards out, 110 out. Just trying
to. I need to work on my sand game. Is what I need practice. I've been
go to the beach.
Out of the sand.
Go to the beach.
Yeah, yeah. I tell you what,
it's sand
it's
game. A blender in Destin, Florida.
And a bucket and a shovel. I'll tell you what, it makes you not want to go in the sand when you know you're not hitting well out of it. I'm really focused, and so I'm almost thinking to myself, it's better this way because I have less and less. I usually play most rounds, and I only get in the sand a couple of times, maybe. So maybe that's my motivation. I know I'm not going to be able to get out of it or very well, so I do everything I can not to hit into the sand. But that's kind of been the thing I need to be working on. So we'll see.
Let's
have fun today.
The swing thought is take the hazard out of play.
Yeah.
If you think it's a nine, hit an eight.
In case you hit it.
I love that. Swing hard. And what was it? Global badness? Was that it?
He was spreading global badness. I don't even.
That's the title of the show today. Spreading global badness with Art Salinger.
Do you understand why that would anger them? Why would that anger them?
Because they weren't supposed to.
That they were teeing up behind the markers.
Because the markers are there for a reason. They move them around for a club course setup as well as to not have a lot of wear and tear on certain areas of the tee box.
But there cannot be much wear and tear on the very back of every tee box.
They broke the
rules.
They broke the rules.
And I get it. They could have come up to him and said, you know, sir, in their proper English accent, the rules are play from the – so we'd appreciate next time if you would play from the markers. And they would say, okay, fine, sir. To say you're banned for life.
I'm telling
why
you.
Why was that so egregious?
We love Art. Art's our friend. We love Art. But I'm telling you, in the words of the great Paul Harvey, and next, the rest of the story. There's something else that happened to make that woman mad.
Yeah, there had to be alcohol or something involved.
Language, something happened.
Somebody else came up. Yeah, somebody called somebody's mother by a bad name.
Oh, Lord.
Because, you know, something. You're right. Because why
the music.
Was that on
play
its,
the, play
on
the
its
music.
Own
get out of here.
Affect it, you know? So. All right, we appreciate everybody listening. Thanks so much for being with us. Next time we join us next week, we'll let you know how Tiger does. Hopefully he makes a cut, and we'll see what he does over the weekend at the Quicken Loans National. We'll also update you on the KPMG Women's PGA Championship and Senior Open at the Broadmoor. A lot of stuff we'll talk about at the beginning of next week. Thank you, Art Salinger, for being with us. And for Frank Bassett, I'm Tim Matthews. Remember to join us next time right here on Golf Talk America.